You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. And of course, it is always a humbling experience to have this privilege to be a part of this camp meeting and to be able to be here. And I certainly do appreciate all the preaching that we have been privileged to hear today and all the wonderful singing. And I do ask that you pray for me. I certainly do need the Lord's strength and the Lord's help. As I say, everywhere I go, I know that there are many, many Baptist preachers that could have been asked to come, but I feel honored and blessed of God to have this privilege. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here, and I certainly do appreciate this camp meeting and to the thousands of lives that it has blessed down through the years, and for the faithful men of God that have blazed the trail before us, and for those that God has raised up in this generation. I am grateful that the day will never be so dark or so black that God will not have a faithful witness in this world. And I appreciate the privilege to be a part of the kingdom of God. I don't have any sad stories to tell. I can think of a few, but I'm just grateful that God found me and that God has given me a place in His service. And as Brother Dana preached to us this morning, I'm certainly glad that I've been to the well. And thank you so much for just the privilege to be a part of this service. And I certainly do appreciate Brother Steve, his faithfulness and his obedience to the Lord and the Calvary Baptist Church down through these years. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. I want to speak to you tonight as we look at this verse that I've just read, verse 30 of the fifth chapter of Ephesians, on the majestic mystery. In this verse, of course, the Apostle Paul gives us one of the great mysteries. That is to those of us that are saved and the household of faith. It is a text that cannot be measured. It is a text that we can only meditate and can only worship when we consider this great truth. We are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bone. You remember that when the angels or when the shepherds came to Bethlehem and told Mary the things that had happened to them, the Bible says that Mary pondered these things in her heart. And there are many scriptures, of course, that we cannot really explain, but we just bow before them in gratitude and in solemnness. And this is one of those very special texts. This is a mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church, the apostle says, for members of His body, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, and bone of His bones. Now, of course, you're aware that that great massive door in Noah's Ark, not only did it swing from the inside, but outward as well. For those that were on the inside, they were shut in. For those who were on the outside, they were shut out and were destroyed by the flood. We that are saved by the grace of God can only marvel at this great mystery that we're shut up to God, that we are in Christ. Colossians says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If Christ lives in your heart, then this glorious truth is the reality. Members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Not only have we been called out of God, we've been taken out of the family of Satan, out of the family of the devil. We've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. And what an astounding thing it is, and what a humbling thought it is, that this sinner, saved by grace, is now a member of the body of Christ, flesh of his flesh, and bone of his bone. That night when the Lord saved me as a 9-year-old boy, as a matter of fact, it was 60 years ago when the Lord Jesus put his pure grace in my heart. 61 years ago, that is. 61 years ago and 1 month ago, I became a member of his body, flesh of his flesh, and bone of his bone. When I went home that night, I knew that God had done something wonderful in my heart. And I've been discovering just how wonderful it was as the years have passed by. And the more that I think about this wonderful act of God, the more I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned unclean, that he has made me a member of his body, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bones. We are not only in Christ, the kingdom of Christ. We are in Christ. Ephesians 1, the preceding verses reminds us of just what the Lord has done for us in the fact that he's made us members of his body. Ephesians 1, 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us and the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now, of course, when the Lord dealt with my heart, even as a 9-year-old boy, under deep conviction, I did not know what was happening to me. Before that night, the Lord saved me on that Wednesday night. 3 nights, 3 days. I was under deep conviction. But I have discovered since that the reason that I was seeking for him is because he sought me. While I knew him, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And of course, it is God's purpose to make us just like his darling son. We're going to be just like our head, the Lord Jesus. Christ has a body. And what a holy privilege it is to be a part of that body that we call the church, to the praise of the glory of his grace, whereas hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now you can ever make yourself accepted. We were sinful, unworthy, undone. But we that have been accepted have cast our complete confidence and our trust in Him. Not anything that we could have ever done to merit salvation. But the Lord has made us accepted in the Beloved. I am what I am by the grace of God. The righteousness of Jesus Christ making it all possible. In whom we have redemption through His blood. What a wonderful thing it is to know the cleansing power of Jesus' blood. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? I have been accepted in the Beloved. As I've often said, I don't think I'll ever forget that glorious night when God saved me. But if I do get some terrible disease and forget, it won't matter. The foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Of course, I don't know how my sojourn will end on this earth. None of us know that. I hope it can please the Lord that I won't end up in a nursing home, slobbering in my oatmeal, talking to unseen characters. But I do know this. Whatever state my physical frame may be in, I've been accepted in the Beloved. I'm a part of His body. I'm flesh of His flesh. I'm bone of His bone. You can't get any closer than that. There's no possibility of being any closer to the relationship to God than we are. The gospel is based on nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God I've been to Calvary. But as we briefly look at this text, you note the matrimony of this text. This union with Christ is real. It's a living union. This verse is a direct reference, of course, to Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, we read concerning the creation of Adam. And He brought him forth, the Bible said, in the second chapter of Genesis, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." And because there was no sin, of course there was no lust. Adam had, God had created Adam, and from the side of Adam made he woman. She was the same nature as Adam himself. Now, of course, there is a difference between man and woman. You know that. We live in a day when people are not really sure about that. But God, as someone as well said, didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. And our text that I read from tonight, Ephesians 5:30, speaks about the second Adam, the last Adam, Jesus, the Son of God, who counted it not robbery to be equal with God. The same Christ, the same Lord, who made everything that was made. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And yet He so loved us that He took our human nature Himself. The very nature that you and I have is the very nature the Son of God carried while He was on this earth. He was not a deified man. He was not a humanized God. He is perfectly God and perfectly man, born of a human mother. And of course, His birth was brought about by the power of the Holy Ghost. In every sense, He became man, yet without sin, the perfect man. He was the absolutely perfect man. Temptation assailed Him. The sun shined down on Him just as hot and just as brightly as it shines on us. The rain fell on Him. He knew what poverty was. He knew what hunger was. He knew about slander. He knew about treachery. He suffered. He wept. He rejoiced. He became one of us that we might become like Him. He became like us that we might be made members of His body, flesh of His flesh, and bone of His bone, because God became man. I have been made a partaker of His divine nature. The only thing divine about me is what God has wrought in my heart. If any man be in Christ, he has become a new creature. The former things are passed away, and all things are become new. This was an intimate relationship. God joined Adam and Eve together. She was His helpmate. And of course, two wonderful things came from the Garden of Eden. And those two wonderful things, of course, that came from the Garden of Eden was marriage, the Sabbath day, and worship. You and I, of course, worship on the Lord's Day, the very day that Jesus got up out of the grave and waved the keys of death and hell in the devil's face. That's the day we come together as members of His body, flesh of His flesh, and bone of His bone. The Bible says in Isaiah 49, verse 15, can a woman forget her second child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget. Mothers may cease their own to cherish, but nothing can, no changes can attend Jehovah's love. We're bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, members of His body, flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone. You can't get any closer than that. We're members of His body. And God, of course, caused the deep sleep to fall on Adam and to sleep. And God took one of His ribs and closed up the flesh. Instead, there, the Bible says in verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made He a woman and brought her unto the man. And of course you do get the parallel. This is the verse that the Apostle Paul alludes to. The first Adam from the body of man, Eve, was taken. But from the riven side of our Lord Jesus Christ, God has taken His lovely bride, a pure bride, a perfect bride, a bride that is going to make just like Himself. Someone has said that Eve was not taken from above the head of Adam, that she might be above him and rule him. She was not taken from under his feet, that Adam might trod upon her, tread on her, and make a slave out of her. But she was taken from the side of Adam, that they might walk together, and that they might worship together. And that's what the Lord has done for me. I have the privilege to walk with Him, and I have the privilege to worship Him, flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone, and a member of His body. This glorious truth. And there's the mercy of this text. This is a loving union. Christ saw His bride his church in the mire. And he came to planet Earth to purchase his bride with his own blood. He made it himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Hebrews 5:8 says, though he was son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And by our Lord's own decree, and by the design of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Christ came to earth as a servant, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, that he might bring us to himself, that he might bring us to God. And so there's the wonderful truth that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. There's the majesty of this text. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's a man in heaven who intercedes for me, who prays for me. It is the man Christ Jesus, identifying himself as the perfect man, the only mediator between God and men. I have a perfect man in heaven who prays for me, who helps me, who intercedes for me. Because I'm a member of his body, I'm flesh of his flesh, and I'm bone of his bone. Now the idea of our Lord, the idea of Christ losing members is a grotesque idea after all. The Lord's going to present to himself a glorious body, without spot or without wrinkle. If he could lose one member, he could lose every one of them. But he has not, and he never shall, lose a one of his body, members of his body, flesh of his flesh, and bone of his bone. The Lord Jesus Christ has made this possible through his death on the cross. Romans 4:24 says, we believe in him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. That the Lord Jesus had died and remained in the grave, even though he was yet alive, somewhere out in eternity, we wouldn't know that he was alive. But we know that he is alive because he was resurrected from the dead. The Lord whom has saved us, the one who was delivered for our offenses, was raised again for our justification. And as certain as God's Son died for our offenses, he was raised again for our justification. Christ the head lives on high. Now of course the Lord Jesus is the Savior. And it would be foolish to think about Jesus being the Savior without the saved. It would be foolish to think about him being the Redeemer without the redeemed. It would be ridiculous to think about him being the Shepherd without sheep. It would be foolish to imagine that he is a King without subjects. We are members of his body, flesh of his flesh, and bone of his bone. Christ the Lord hath made us a part of himself. He is the Savior of the body. The Bible said in the scripture that I read that no man hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. Now, just because a member of our body doesn't feel good, for example, if our finger hurts, we don't hate our finger. We don't help our toe if it hurts. We still love it. And I remind you that Christ loves His church. He nourishes it. He cherishes it. He nourishes it through His Word. He does it through worship. Worship is the divine thing that God has established. Worship is a communion with God. And it is important that we do know what it is to sit at the feet of Jesus. Sometimes it seems as if God just pours buckets of liquid love out in our hearts. And sometimes it seems like that His face has been withdrawn from us. But it cannot. The truth is that Christ is the head, and that no matter what we face, no matter how dark the day, we're flesh of His flesh. We're a part of His body and bone of His bone. Christ is the head of the church, Savior of the body. The Song of Solomon, 6th chapter, the 10th verse says, "Who is she that looketh fair as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, as an army with banners?" The Lord nourishes His church, and He cherishes His church. You can rest assured that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Someone has said, the older we get, instead of fat appearing, wrinkles appear. But when the Lord is through with His church, she will be without wrinkles. She will be without spot. She will be without blemish. Now, to tell you the truth, I have discovered the older that I get, my soul still feels well. But sometimes my body don't feel as well as my soul. But there's a new man on the inside, and he's getting stronger every day. And then doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I don't feel the authority of this book. We that are saved and are part of His church are members of His body, flesh of His flesh, and bone of His bone. I just noticed the other day especially, and I've seen it many, many times before, but it just jumped out at me, this wonderful truth, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church. He's going to present it to Himself. Now, at a normal wedding, an average wedding, either the father or friend or whoever brings the bride into the service and presents the bride. But the only one worthy to present this bride to Himself is the Lord Jesus. Thank God the line of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. And He's going to present it to Himself, a glorious church, without spot or without wrinkle. Nobody's qualified to present this bride save the Lord Jesus. Who presents this bride? The one who died for it. The one who loved it. The one who gave Himself for it. He's going to present it to Himself, a glorious church, without spot or without wrinkle. We have been made members of His body, flesh of His flesh, and bone of His bone.